Oh, happy day. Happy Sunday, that is. Hey, man, so every morning we should wake up with an attitude of gratitude, man. Each and every day is a brand new day. We are new creations in Him each and every day, amen? So saying that, man, we should wake up with a newfound gratitude each and every morning, amen? I mean, if you're not coming out of your prayer closet with the peace, joy, and righteousness that we should be, man, don't come out of your prayer closet until you get that stuff. Amen? Because we come from, I know I can say for myself, I come from pretty dark spaces and places. And I tell you what, He saved my butt. And I can wake up every morning just saying thank you, raising my hands, man. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Knowing that the thousand generations, because of what I'm speaking in and prophesying, that my family is going to be good. Amen? You speak it, you believe it. Amen? This, I had a thought about this teaching I'm doing, and it really got emotional on it. And you'll see as we go on, it really, really touched my heart. And I can relate to this message I'm about to give, because this message is definitely for me. Amen? And it's for everyone as well. So everybody out there, everybody hearing, open your hearts to receive this. Amen? So let's go to Mark 2, please. Read verses 1 through 12. And again he entered Capernaum, and after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together, so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they would not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken down through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately he rose up, took up the bed, and went out to the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Hallelujah. And how amazing is it that Jesus heals? We're going to, we will talk more about the paralytic man, but one of my focus is, right for the next few scriptures, is the people who carried this man to Jesus. So the name of this teaching is to be one of the four. Think about the obstacles that these people took just to get this guy to Jesus. I mean, they must have been really good friends. Think of all the, man, how far did they walk? Did they drag him? We don't know. That things wasn't said. I mean, apparently he was carried. We don't know how big or small this gentleman was. All we know that he couldn't walk, and it apparently took some pretty good unity, organization, togetherness, and everything else, so some serious skills to do what they did to get this man to Jesus at all costs. Amen. So I'm going to want to focus on what it takes to be one of those four. Amen. Jesus healed a paralytic man whose friends, through persistent and creative faith, lowered him through the roof to reach Jesus. The four friends' unwavering belief in Jesus' healing power led them to overcome obstacles to bring their friend to Jesus. Amen. So one of the first things that, you know, I'm looking back thinking, well, what do you need to be one of the four, man? There's several things, but I'm going to go through a couple of them. The first thing is going to be faith. You got to have faith, amen? And let's go to Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of things which are visible." So the first thing it took is the faith for these guys to know that they could get to Jesus to begin with, and know that Jesus was going to heal him. Amen? So the very first thing that it takes to be one of those four is you got to have the faith. And as we learned in this ministry, you know, faith is what? Forever attached to the heavenlies. And it's the currency. Faith is our currency. Amen? So the very first thing it takes is faith. Let's go to an example of a really good thing of faith. Let's go to Mark 5, please, verses 25 through 34. Everybody there? Amen. It says, now a certain woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years and has suffered many things from many physicians, she has spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed on the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that the power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Amen. When she had complete faith in Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd, intending just to touch his cloak, believing that she'd be made well. And this woman bled for 12 years. Just think, she was an outcast. I mean, just think of how hard it was for her even to get to Jesus to begin with. They looked at her as being unclean. For 12 years, she tried everything in her power to what she could to get rid of this ailment, and just by the hem of his garment. Think of the power that she felt, man. Is that, do you ever read these stories and close your eyes and try and be there and then think of that, like, oh, man, can you imagine the power that he, if Jesus felt power going out of him, think of what power went into her. And think of the faith that it took, knowing that if she just touched the hem of his garment of what the miracles would happen in her life. Amen? That's the same as being one of the four. You got to have the faith. First off, it takes faith. Now, one of the other things we're going to talk about is that they go hand in hand is believe. You got to believe. Amen? Let's go to John 14, please. Yeah, faith and belief goes hand in hand. Believe is to follow. Amen? That's what we're taught here. John 14, please. 1 through 14. Praise God. Everybody good? Everybody there? Amen. Let's read it. It says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If I had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, if I have been not with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip, he who has seen me has seen the Father, so you can say, show us the Father. Do you not believe that I am the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am the Father, and the Father in me, or also believe me for the sake of the works themselves. So, faith and belief go hand in hand. You gotta believe to have faith. You gotta have faith to believe. Amen? It's the first thing it takes me. You gotta believe that, to know that you know that you know that things are going to happen in your life. And it takes belief to follow in Jesus. Many people say that seeing is believing, but when it comes to living out your faith, you must believe before you see it. To believe involves deep trust, reliance, commitment to God, and his promises often expressed through obedience and a transformed life. Amen. So when we follow Jesus, we believe so that transformation happens. We get filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. So like I said, to be one of those four, man, you got to be able to believe and you got to have that faith. Amen. Let's move on. Let's go to Romans 15, please. Now, we picture these guys going through all of their trials and tribulations of getting this fella up to see Jesus, man. And there's one of the things that really stands out is they got to be like-minded. I mean, you can't have... you can't... Four guys can't work on a mat getting a paralytic guy up on a roof without being like-minded. Amen? There'd be some arguing, some of this, some of that. You got a person going left, person going right, and there's pretty good chance this dude's going to end up on the ground. Right? Do you think they dropped him? We don't know, do we? Maybe they did. I don't know. I hope they didn't. But you don't know these things. We only know what we're told. But, you know, as far as we know, he didn't get dropped. So there was definitely some like-mindedness going on between these four guys, right? So it takes like-mindedness. You got to be in one mind. So Romans 15, I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. We then, hallelujah, now I'm starting to get the giggles. I'm picturing this in my head now. I got to get it out of my head. Okay, all right. We then, who are strong, ought to bear the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but it is written, am I on the right one? Yeah, I'm okay. Let us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification, for even Christ did not please himself, but it is written, the reproaching of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written on our learning, that we through the patience and comfort in the scriptures might have hope. Now that may of God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another and according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus. We got to be like-minded in everything that we do, especially in this group that we're in. Like-mindedness is a oneness. We ought to be like-minded with the Lord. Amen. We are to bind our mind with his mind. So when we're in our prayer closet, we bind our mind with his mind. You're in your prayer closet. You're binding your mind with his mind. To be together, we bind our mind with his mind. So that brings us together. It's togetherness, a like-mindedness. Being like-minded means having a shared purpose or core beliefs centered on Christ. Like-mindedness is characterized by having the same love of God and others as well as a compassionate and empathetic attitude that allows believers to share in one another's joys and sorrows. So when you're like-minded, man, you should be able to know what's going on in your brother's sister's lives. Just kind of by looking. If you're around them, like-mindedness, you'll know the troubles and struggles that people go through. We all go through it, man. I can tell like the brothers in my house. I know when somebody's having a bad day just by looking at them because I know them well enough. We're like-minded in that sense, man. It should be the same in your houses too. And like as far as this ministry, we're a tight ministry. You know when somebody's not right. Do you not? I mean, amen. It's the same for everybody out there too, man. Be like-minded, everything that you bind your mind every single morning, the mind of Christ, and the others that gather with you who are believers, they'll be like-minded as well. So it takes like-mindedness, belief, and faith. And let's just pray that, well, that'd be a GQ question, a God question we get, but it's like, man, Lord, did they drop them or not? But I'm going to say they didn't. They only dropped them down in there, so. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, one of the next thing that kind of goes like-minded is something really big in this ministry. It's called unity. You got to have unity, man. Think of a mat. Think of a guy sitting on a mat. Four guys carrying this mat. If you're not in unison, I mean, it's going to go everywhere. Is it not? So like-minded unity kind of goes hand in hand, just as belief and faith does as well. Amen? Let's go to Psalm 133, please. Verse 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron. Running down on the edge of his garments, it is like the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Unity involves a common purpose, a deep and eternal bond of love that transcends differences in personality, gifts, or backgrounds. Think about that for a second. And when you're in a house, especially when the house, like this discipleship house, I mean, everybody's got different things. They court everything, kind of gets mixed and construed in, but all together, when you pray together, the spirit of unity comes on in. So it doesn't matter what your background is, you know, anything else, what, you know, what cereal like. I mean, everybody's got different flavors and likes and everything like that. But, I mean, when you speak unity in, unity comes. Unity expressed through supporting each other is supporting each other, caring for one another's needs, and praying for one another. We are called to work together, singing or using our diverse gifts or talents. Everyone has different talents and gifts. We become unified when we all blend those gifts together, because I'm good at something that Katie might not be good at. Katie is great at stuff that I'm not good at. That's where unity comes in. That's where this house gets so tight. Amen? Everybody's got different talents and gifts that we ought to use them to make the unification of this body more better. to accomplish the task that is set before us while giving the glory to God. In all this unity, we give glory to God. Because the unity comes from the glory of God. It does not comes from me, not comes from yourself, their self. Unity comes from the Spirit, from the Holy Spirit. Because if not, we'll be at each other's throats constantly, which sometimes it happens. That's we got to restore unity. And think about this. A house divided won't stand. It states in the Word, does it not? I mean, how often do arguments occur where bringing strife and division? And boom, unity's gone. So then now you got to work on getting that unity back, man. Got to break it out. Break out the prayer book. Break out the praying. Break out the forgiveness, the repentance. Bring that unity back. It does happen. There's a constant battle between it, to be honest with you. I mean, that's why whenever we're praying, said, speak in that spirit of unity every single time. Amen? Because a lot better in division and strife, right? Amen? So it takes unity to be one of those four. You gotta be able to work together as one. You can't be a loner. Not unless you're like, you know, 7 foot, 300 pounds, can carry this guy on your shoulder up the thing and drop him down yourself. But that's usually not gonna happen, man. It takes four of you to carry that mat. Amen. Unity, like-mindedness, faith, and belief. Amen. Let's go to Philippians 2, please. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also the interests of others. Amen. Unity is also achieved by being humble and putting others before yourself. We need to actively consider the needs and the perspectives of others, willing to put their need ahead of your own. How often do we say me, 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 when I should be looking at somebody going, you, 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 you? I mean, get yourself out of the way, man. The first thing that we're taught here is to deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow. Amen. To be like-minded in unity means to get out of yourself. Amen. To get rid of selfish ambitions. And selfish ambitions and being conceit has no place at all within the house of God. We're together. We're to work as one, especially when if you're carrying a paralytic guy up on a roof with 40 other guys. No selfish ambitions, no conceit, and be humble about it to glorify God in everything we do. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, we're getting there. Let's go to Luke 10, please. 25 to 37. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay to you. So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, who showed mercy on him? Then Jesus said, go and do the likewise. Oh, hallelujah. Love knows no boundaries. We are to show mercy and compassion to others in need. To truly love others is to potentially put their needs before your own. Deny yourself. Be the good Samaritan. It takes being that good Samaritan. It takes getting out of yourself. Like we said before, deny yourself. I mean, don't get me wrong, man. A lot of times we got to take care of ourselves. You got to eat right. You got to do your prayers and everything else. But beyond that, man, we're here to help other people to get to Jesus. That's the main thing that these 4 guys did on this mat, was to get this guy to Jesus, no matter what, at all costs. It didn't matter to them. Didn't matter, if they stubbed their toe on the way. I mean, it didn't matter. They were there to get Jesus, knowing that he was going to get healed. Amen? Could you imagine that the closer and closer they got to Jesus, just how powerful that was, man? I mean, you get there, and, man, I can't help but think, they got him on the roof. They opened up the thatch, man. Just think of the togetherness and unity it took to figure out a way to get him down. And you think Jesus was seeing this the whole time like he already knew? I'm like, yeah, these guys are coming. Yeah, watch this. This is going to be cool. Let's see how far they get. But I got them just in case. And that's some of the things I like to think about. But they brought him down there just knowing the guy themselves. I mean, who knows? Maybe they only walked a few feet, but maybe they took this guy a couple miles. Because, back then you just don't know. I mean, you don't know how long. I like to think the latter of the two, maybe didn't go too far. But nonetheless, they carried him to Jesus. They got it themselves. They were good Samaritan. Amen? No matter what it took. one of the big things, also, to be one of these 4 is, let's go to Matthew 7. I'm going to read verses 16 through 20. It says, you will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. It takes the fruit of the Spirit. It takes to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you think these guys would have the faith and belief and the like-mindedness and the unity if they weren't filled with the Spirit? They didn't know that their belief system was correct, that they were going to heal Jesus. Their fruit was good, apparently. Just this paralytic was eating their fruit all the way up there. I mean, these guys were got out of themselves. Something, seriously, they had good fruit, wouldn't you say? Man, Now, just ponder on this. Do you think anybody who has bad fruit would have jumped on one of those sides and carried him up there? Probably not, right? Maybe they might have showed the intention at first, but then as soon as they got to a certain obstacle, they would say, oh, this is too much for me. Or, oh, man, I hurt my ankle. Oh, my knee hurt. Oh, I'm out of here. It takes somebody to get out of themselves with that good fruit. Got to be filled with the Spirit. Speaking of spirit, let's go to Galatians 5, 16 through 26. Everybody ready? It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so in that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, I'm going to go on here, but really think about these things that are the works of the flesh. Think when I'm reading these, think about if these works are any of the fruits that this guy's going to be carrying to get this guy up there. I think not. Let's read it. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So these things promote self. Everything here promotes self. Pretty much guaranteed, this guy is not going to get on that corner and carry that guy up to see Jesus. He's probably going to take him the other way and get him high. What do you think? I mean, or beg for money. This guy's paralytic. Come on, we need some money. Throw me a denarii or two and take it and run. I mean, there's a good chance. This is all about self. There's nothing about doing walking in the Spirit. It's walking in the flesh. Let's go on. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us all walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. The fruit demonstrates the presence and work of the Holy Spirit in a person's life, reflecting the character of Christ. That's what the fruit is. It reflects the character of Christ. The lust of flesh reflects self, does it not? Amen. The fruit is a unified whole reflecting Jesus' character and the behavior of those who are led by the Spirit. So in order to have all these things working together in unison, like-mindedness, faith, belief, you got to be walking in the Spirit with these fruits. You got to have good fruit. Those are good fruits. Amen? Now, another big thing that takes to carry this man up there is think about forgiveness. I mean, do you think this guy whined a lot? I mean, do you think whenever to be filled with the Spirit, you got to be able to forgive others? I mean, you got to, no matter how hard the situation, no matter how hard the guy on the left side in the back, man, had to take a break and actually kicked you. You had to work in togetherness, which it takes forgiveness. Because without forgiveness, I mean, that's what everything's about. It's a commandment. You are to forgive. You can't walk in the Spirit having a bunch of crap in your life as far as bitterness and anger and wrath, jealousy, outbursts, things like that. It takes forgiveness. So to be one, unified, like-mindedness, God, it takes forgiveness. Amen? So let's go to Colossians 3, please. 12 through 17. You can't have unity without forgiveness. Unforgiveness, that's one of the fruits of strife and division. At all costs, you got to forgive. You might not forget, but you got to forgive. Amen. Colossians 3, 12 through 17. It says, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, do in word or deed, and do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Forgiveness is a release or letting go of wrongdoing. It's a conscious, deliberate decision not to hold a wrong against another person, regardless of whether they deserve it or not. Forgiving is essential. It's an act of obedience. Jesus commands this. He commands to believe, being compassionate, kind, forgive one another, as he states in Ephesians 4. You've got to be able to forgive. Amen. Now I'm going to close with one more scripture, and this is the glue. This is the, you can do the dance with me. This is the glue. This is the glue that puts all these things together. Amen. Because what do we got? We got belief. We got faith. We got unity. We got like-mindedness. We got being just a good person. Being that good Samaritan. You got forgiveness. Man, it takes. What's the main thing? What are we missing here, fellas? girls, love. The glue is love. Amen. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, please. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 13. The greatest gift, the glue. The glue that holds all this together. And what is love? God. God is love. So God's holding all this together, right? Amen. The word says, so I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love. I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, that have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long, it is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part as we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face, now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love. These three, the greatest of these is love. Hallelujah. Love is not an emotion. It's a set of active choices. We choose to love. Amen. It's an attitude towards others. All of these other acts we talked about are meaningless if love isn't present. Love is the most vital, enduring aspect of the Christian life. Brothers and sisters, this is the part that I got done with this teaching. I really started thinking. Maybe you got anybody out there, or you guys sitting here, you guys can relate. How many times have you been on that mat? How many times were you on that mat and you had the people who loved you throughout your life try and get you to Jesus? Whether you're on that mat, whether you're struggling with addiction, whether you're struggling, you know, with fear, anxiety, you're paralyzed with something one way or another. I was several times. And there's been many people in my life that I can probably speak up. I'm not going to. They know who they are, who did nothing but love on me and carry me to Jesus, tried their best to get me to Jesus. A lot of times I could walk again, ran the other way. But you wake up each and every day so grateful and thankful for the people in your life who pray for you when you're on that mat and grab that side and ready to do whatever it takes, get out of themselves to get you to Jesus, because you know there's healing, you know there's deliverance when it comes to Jesus. So I'm just grateful, thankful for the people in my life when I am on that mat that carry me there. Amen. I'm forever in debt for that. And it's just, and it all takes love. It's a special kind of love, a special kind of everything that it takes to do that. So that's the part that really got me. I really started thinking about that. And that's one of the main reasons I want to be on that part of the mat. I want to get people to Jesus. I know the healing. I know the deliverance. I've been on that mat. I know how bad being on that mat can be. But there's freedom in Jesus. Amen? That's what I got. Praise God. Lord, we love you and bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for love and mercy, Lord. You apply the blood of Jesus all over this word, Lord. We ask, Lord, as you go out through it this day, just make yourself be known to us, Papa. And if we see anybody on that mat, let us grab that side and let's get them to Jesus, Lord. Love you and bless you. In Jesus' name we pray.